we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for, Lord, I don't know when you got here. I just thank you for being here, because in my spirit, I just knew you were here. Lord, I just thank you for just gracing us with your presence, Lord, and we don't take it lightly. Lord, we thank you for your service and just the pleasure and the honor of being able to worship and praise you and to learn about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to start in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Everybody good? And I didn't give you a verse. We're going to start at verse 9 of chapter 4. It would help if I give a verse. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he had requested. This is kind of an odd passage. Before and after this brief blurb about Jabez, there's a lineage, and it just, and I don't know about you, but when I was a kid and I was reading the Bible, I would always skip over the genealogies because I wasn't interested, you know? And it's all of these begat this one, and this one begat, and and I skipped over it again when I was reading it. But for some strange reason, in the middle of all these genealogies, you have this brief blurb about Jabez. And if we look at 9, it says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And what occurred to me, and what God was showing me, it is possible to be a man or woman of faith. It is possible to have a wonderful prayer life, and it is possible that you can read your word every day, and you can commune with God every day, which is what he asked for anyway. But it doesn't mean that everything in paradise is good. It said Jabez was more honorable. So he had respect and regard for God. But he's saying a little more than halfway through the verse, it's saying that something still isn't right. Something has gone awry. And it's amazing how you can be honorable and commune with God. And it says that up until this point of verse 9, things weren't going so well for Jabez. You would think that all God's people would have it easy. You would think that they're, even if they go through something tough, you would think it would pass just like the rain did yesterday, and all of a sudden the waters just recede. But Jabez made it clear that he was being plagued by something. Even in being an honorable man or woman of God, you still may have some concerns. You still may have some things that up until now you have not been able to work through. The end of verse 9 kind of tells us where the issue lies. And all of us know when, in those days, the Jewish customs of when they named children, it meant something. Your name was not only your present, but it was your future as well. I'm glad that, if you think about it, any woman here that has given birth could have easily said the same thing. And I thank God that you gave us regular names, like my name is Eric, I'm not the child of sorrow or anything like that. So it wasn't odd that there was pain in childbirth. But what happened is she named him after sorrow. She says, I bore him in sorrow. So his name is He Who Causes Pain. Sadly enough, that even though that was his birth name, it followed him in life. But one day, and I don't know, you ever wake up one day and say, you know what, something isn't right. I've had this issue for years. I don't know what to do about it. I've tried to sweep it under the rug. I've tried to push it under the carpet, but certain things keep happening to me. Have you ever talked to somebody who just seemed to be in a bad pattern? It's not that they weren't honorable. It's not that they weren't Christians. It's not that they weren't God's people, but they'd come to you and say things like, you know, I had a close personal friend of mine and loved God, but he couldn't keep a job. And he said, my parents know already who I'm talking about, but he'd always come and we'd have a good time. You know, the weekend would be here and Monday would come and I would go to work. I said, man, you going to work today? He said, nah, man, I don't think I'm gonna make it today. And next thing you know, he was looking for a job. Love God. And God loves him. He's God's man. Had people come to me and say, man, you know, I'm just going to stay single because, I mean, all of my exes are abusive. I always get into abusive relationships. And these are God's people saying this stuff. Maybe it's in the car. It's just in the cards for me to be single, or it's just in the cards for me to only have a certain amount of money. It's in the cards for me not to go but so far, because I didn't go to school like all of these kids are going to school now. I don't know all of this technology. It just wasn't in the cards for me. That is correct. It is not in the cards for you. But praise God, it is in the book. Today is going to be a very, I'm glad y'all look relaxed. That's good. It's just going to be a very practical lesson. I like to teach. I don't really preach. I like to teach. And I like saying things that when you leave here, you can actually do the steps. You can go through the steps. So if you you find yourself in these situations like this and it's just weird and you don't really know how we got here, what's dangerous is not necessarily how you got here or how we got to this place of this strange, you know, station in life, but the important thing is how long are we going to stay there? You have to be careful what you call home. Now, we all have a comfort zone. We have a home. We have a physical home. We have a spiritual home. We have a mental home. And I've heard time and time again how people will be in these bad places and they'll say those things out of their mouths. I will never do this. I can't do that. It seems like for a brief time, they may get out of the situation and everything is going good. Like my friend would get a good job, another job, you know, the 50th job. And all of a sudden, didn't have it anymore. It's almost like your natural home. You have to be careful with who you say you are and what you say will happen to you, because if you stay there too long, it can be home. You ever have somebody who says all the time, I mean, I like social media, and so that all you ever see is, oh, I'm not looking for any drama. No drama. Don't come to me with the drama. But these are the same people that seem to always be embroiled in some drama. It's almost, you ever say, man, do you like drama? Because it seems like, and your actions say, this is what you want. But that's because that can become your home. It's what you can be in something so long that you just get used to it. And it'll start to feel comfortable. Jabez, I mean, I don't know how many years he was going through. I don't know how many years he was causing sorrow and plagued with just pain and misfortune. But I would almost wager that he had become used to it. And that's why maybe as an adult, one day he finally said, you know what? This can't be life. This can't be right. One thing that's important, if you look at verse 10, it says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, let's stop there. Yeah. I can stop there. Have you ever forgotten to pray about something? Have you ever gotten so caught up in a situation and you begin to fret? And you begin to complain, and you told everybody but God. Some days I get up, like I was, and I do this a lot. Like I'll have a pain for whatever reason. I do something weird at work, and you know my elbow hurts, or you know something hurts. And I always tell my mom, if it ain't bad, I really don't care. Like as long as I can walk and move around, I don't care. But I've gotten some pains that it wasn't okay, like migraines or dizziness or blurriness. And this isn't okay. And I would just lay down and just go through it and just suffer. And I said, hold on. I ain't got to live like this. I don't have to. Jabez said, hold up. And he called on the God of Israel. Sometimes I forget that God can do this stuff. And that's just me being honest. I forget that I don't have to take everything lying down. There's some things I don't have to suffer through. That's the first step. You got to call on the right. Don't call me when you're going through. Call God. Don't call your brother. They don't care. They don't care, but what are they going to do? What are they going to do to help you? I had a friend that, and I prayed about it. She was about to be evicted, and she needed like $3,000 or something ridiculous. I was almost sad that I had reached out to her because she actually, don't ask what you can do for somebody if you're not prepared to do it. So what I did say is, you know, how's your fridge look? You need some grocery money? Because what I'm not about to do is pay you a mortgage. And I do love Jesus. But what I won't do, no, let me stop. Call on the God. Step one, call on the God of Israel. It says forget not his benefits. Like, ask him questions. Don't ask me, I don't know. Ask the God of Israel questions, the one who knows the answers. And I always say, just because you don't know the answer doesn't mean that there's not an answer. Jabez went on for years, probably struggling with the answer. But at least he came to the right place. His request is simple. He says, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. This is verse 10. And enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. The last part of this verse, I think it's too simple for us sometimes. I really do. There's not a lot of ink dedicated to the solution here. Not at all. There's more ink dedicated to the genealogies. So maybe that might be more important. I don't know. But it says at the end of verse 10, and God granted him that which he requested. Could it really be that simple? Is it us? I know sometimes it's me because I'm just making it too difficult. It's like you forget you a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Sometimes you forget, you know, and I talk to friends about this. You know that God said to me a couple days ago, he said, you know, Eric, this pandemic has literally changed the way the world operates. Not Richmond, not Virginia, not the U.S., but the world has literally had to adjust to this pandemic. But he said, you know what? How is it that the one that is greater than the pandemic, you don't believe that I can change your life? You don't believe that if you say, you think it stops at you, hey, there are some things that I know I can't get through. There's some things I've been struggling with. There's some things that I know I've tried and I just can't give up. I just can't stop doing this. But there is one that is greater. I mean, why don't you think, and don't I think, that God knows this? Don't you think that he knows that on your own, there are some things that you simply will not get past? If we could do it all, then what need would there be for God? If you could get yourself out of anything, you know what famous line? Hey, you know, we used to go out on the street and, you know, just witness for God and just show love, and that was awesome. And the number one thing people would say, and I'm gonna let you say it, I'm just gonna ask. Say, are you part of a church home? Do you fellowship anywhere? And it said, nah, you know, I'm not, you know, what do people say, Mom? Please tell me when you ask them if they go to church and they say no, what's the number one reason they always give? I'm not ready, right? I need to get myself straight. How in the world can you get yourself straight and get ready? Why do I need, so why does it say that the sick are the ones who need a hospital? Not every, who is perfectly well and just say, you know what, I feel like seeing the doc. I'm going to the hospital today just to see by chance what might happen. No, it says the sick are the, oh, so you're not ready? Perfect. That's why you need to be here. I want to, like, you know, get myself right. There's some things, you know, that I need to let go of. Oh, really? Perfect. We start at 10. See you then. You can join all of the other people that ain't ready and got stuff that they need to put aside. You can join the others who need help, who aren't afraid to admit that I don't have it all together. Come join us. Step one. Again, calling on the God of Israel. But you know what? And I'll say this. Step two, and I'm going to fly around to some more scriptures. Let's go to Genesis chapter 17, verse 5. That should be fun. Genesis 17 and 5 says, you know the story, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. Once you go to the God of Israel. There are some things that have to be done in addition. Have you ever prayed to God earnestly and gotten delivered out of something and then fell right back into it later on in life? Later on that day? I don't know. It's not my business. Understand, when you earnestly ask God for something and you believe it, don't be surprised if some things have to change because of it's based on what you've requested, because of what you've asked. Some things may have to change. Look at what he says. He says that your name shall not be anymore Abram. I'll tell you this, it's nothing wrong with some of the things that you've requested. Sometimes the problem is you're not prepared to maintain and withhold the answer. There are some things, in order for God to grant what you've requested, some things are going to have to change that come out of your mouth first. He doesn't say your name isn't Abram anymore. He says no more. It's almost like when we ask God for forgiveness, what does it say? He will remember your sins no more. So when you ask for something, be prepared to not only receive it, but to say the right things out of your mouth. If you ask God to deliver you out of a situation and you've been prone to worrying, you've been prone to complaining, you've been prone to bringing it back up again, God is saying, once you pray for it, don't bring it up again. There's some things that have to be let go of. I don't care whether your mama said it. I don't care if your daddy said it. I don't care if your coworker said it. I don't even care if you sit in the mirror and say it to yourself. You have to stop saying certain things, period. He said the same thing. God then goes on to say, and your wife is not going to be Sarai anymore. Well, why not? Because y'all asked me for a son. Because you've asked me for a child. That's why. That's why you can't laugh anymore. That's why you can't make light of this situation. That's why you can't think it's so preposterous that I can do it. You need a different name. Her name, Sarai, is quarrelsome, contentious. That's why, if I'm going to do this thing for you, all of that contention and quarreling and laughing at what I'm about to do has to stop. Abram, his name means father. Abram, because of what I'm going to do for you, you can't just be a father. Abram is dead. No more will you just be called a father. You are Abraham, which is reflective of what I'm going to do with you. Father of many nations. No more Sarah. Sarah, princess of the multitude. If you want this thing, you got to be willing to make some changes and let go of all the stuff that was said about you as a child. Whatever was said and spoken over you in your past, that's dead. It's got to go. No, what God say? No more. And from there forward, everything out of your mouth should line up with what you've requested from God, what he said that he's going to do for you. Jacob said, I'm not going to turn you loose until you bless me. Is that so? Okay. I can do that, but something is going to have to change. What is that? Your name. No more of this Jacob stuff. That's fine what you want. I know you want to be blessed, but if you really want to be blessed, you're going to have to be Israel now. No more Jacob, meaning to grasp the heel. One who replaces, supplanter, shifty, sketchy. You're Israel now, the prince with God. No more Simon. You ready for this thing? You ready for this call? Perfect. Well, that's Simon. That's dead. That's dead. He has heard. What does that mean? Who named you that? You're Peter now. If you want to, you're a rock now. It's funny because I don't like I'm like Will likes wrestling. Uncle likes wrestling. I don't. One person I do like, and every time I think about certain things, I think about The Rock. And one thing The Rock that would do, I just thought it was hilarious. He would ask you a question. And in the middle of you giving an answer, he would just cut you off and be like, it doesn't matter what you think. And so if you remember, like when Jacob was wrestling with the angel, and he said, I'm not going to turn you loose until you bless me. Angel says, all right. Fair enough. Here you go. Jacob says, and then the angel says, okay, so you're not Jacob anymore. You're Israel. Jacob then does something really strange to me. After he was pronounced blessed, you would think, all right, you know how Jacob is. He's going to get what he wants. But once he gets what he wants, what other business do we have? Like, he's done. And then he says, after the blessing was pronounced, he says, all right, I'm Israel, right? That's my new name. But what is your name? And the angel says, what's it to you? It's in there. Like, what is the... And what benefit would there be by you knowing my name? It doesn't matter what my name is. That's basic. And which brings me to step three. One, calling on the God of Israel. Two, making sure that what you profess out of your mouth lines up with what you have requested. Three, don't be distracted by dumb stuff.
All right, man.
I wish my sister was here. When you are, that's Lynn, my sissy. When you need something from her, there are certain things you can't do. You can't take 20 minutes to fly all around the bush and talk about, you know, the price of oil in Iraq and how that compares to tea in China. That's annoying. She doesn't like that. She might not tell you, but I'm telling you. When you need something from her, you got 2 minutes or less. Because she only, her brain already extracts what is really essential. That's how her mind works. So with all of the song and dance and smoke and mirrors and the minstrel show, she's just like, do you need me to pick you up or what? What time? What time do you want me to be there? Like, don't be distracted by things that don't matter. You ever have a friend that you tell to do something and they start asking all these questions that have nothing to do with nothing? But you know what that is with us? You got to understand, like, Satan isn't really happy with what you've requested, number one. He's not happy with you finally waking up and seeking the God of Israel for the answer. He's not really happy with the things that you're saying out of your mouth. that line up with the will of God. So when you think about his MO, one of them is deception. How do you deceive somebody? Well, distraction is a good way. How do you throw somebody off course and throw something at them that causes them to say, oh, a birdie, you know? And it's like you forget about the prince of the air. He seeks to steal the word. He seeks to steal the seed before it takes root. So in your excitement, in God answering your request, in him saying, okay, I will bless you, in your excitement, don't lose focus. In you telling your coworkers about what God did for you and the experience that you had yesterday in your prayer closet, don't get distracted in your excitement. Don't start then asking God about things that aren't really relevant. Keep your mouth and your nose out of other people's business. Because what does it matter? What does it matter? That's it. Now I'm gonna close with this. Don't forget about God. Even if you pray consistently and you read consistently, you can still forget about God. You can still forget about his benefits. You can still forget the reason he came in the first place. You can still forget what he says about you, what he says that you can do. It's easy to forget that the greater one is inside of you. I encourage you, if there's some things that you haven't put aside or some things that aren't so, let's just be real, they aren't the way that you want them to be, and they aren't the way that you know that they could be. If there are areas that you struggle with that cause your life not to perfectly line up with the will of God, if there's some things keeping you from fulfilling your true potential, it's not that you're not honorable. It's not that you don't reverence God. He's here for us. What father doesn't know how to give good gifts to their children, whether it's answers, whether it's, he's here to do what you can't do. He's given you power to do the things that you are powerless against. Grace, mercy, the supernatural, the divine work of God. Don't forget about that. It says that he hung the stars into place. If you can hang the stars and set the moon where it belongs in the sun, and that's just part of our little solar system, and there are infinitely more outside of our solar system, I think God tells us things like that for a reason. Because not only does he know who you are, more importantly, you know who he is. If he can do that, then I think everything else in our lives is kind of like small potatoes, if you will. So, Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for all the things that